Forever! Dog!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Guest today, you know her as Creepy Reading Girl. You know her from her many specials, her fabulous podcast, The Jackie and Laurie Show, or her other fabulous podcast, The Dork Forest. Please, in-house audience at Treks in the City, give it up for Jackie Cation.
Yeah.
They love you. They love
you. That can't be safe. That doesn't sound like they're six feet away.
All right, everybody file out.
All right.
Okay, everybody.
Spread out.
Okay, everybody. File on out. All right. No, you got to go. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is how I do it. This is how I do my show, by the way, on Instagram that I asked you to do. I just play laugh sounds in the background.
Oh, interesting. I for the first time, did a live TikTok. Didn't know what it was. Just went live. All of a sudden, 23 people were cheer shit. I was like, I have nothing planned. Welcome. So I don't know if you guys ever go live on TikTok.
I haven't gone live yet. Not on TikTok, baby.
I think it's the first time I ever hear that full phrase.
Live on TikTok. Yeah, yeah. It's I would want to be prepared next time. I didn't think anyone would care, but it turns out people get notifications when people go live.
They do. They do.
Mm-hmm. They push them. They push those lives.
They really push it on you.
It feels pushy. For sure.
So you were just talking to your dad.
Yeah, I was.
I love when you talk about your dad because
on the phone,
it's like a better version of my dad.
Everybody's dad is a better. Other people's parents,
yeah,
are always much more tolerable than our own parents, where we're just like, oh, they're so quaint. They're funny. And you're like, yeah, not when I was 11. When I was 11, it was a shit show. Anyway.
My dad, it's true. But people always do love my dad. But I'm always like, do you like dads that are like fun and gregarious? But then behind the scenes, they're like, I should kill myself, right? And it's up to me.
Oh my God, to be the adult. Hello. What was the name of the kid on Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore.
Oh, Rory.
The first time I watched, when I initially watched the Gilmore Girls, I was like, this is the greatest show in the world. Trying to rewatch the Gilmore Girls, I'm like, there doesn't seem to be any parenting going on here. The child seems to be
stressful. Yeah.
It's a great friendship between two women. Between a child and a woman.
And one of them has no parents.
Right. Right. One of them has had to raise herself, it turns out.
Ooh. Yeah, that's really dark. Mm-hmm. But what's not dark is having you here today with us.
I feel good about it. I feel good. Except for that, I believe the last time I was on, you had me watch a really weird episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
I think this was like season one or two.
In fairness, I wanted you to be on that Lower Decks episode.
That's true.
Much more classic, and we couldn't get you in on that timetable, so we did. And then, unfortunately, the next one is fucking mess.
Which was so funny, because then I watched Lower Decks right after it, just as a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
It was interesting, because it was the last episode of season one that I watched, which had Frakes on it. That'll take you back. And but sure, masks, art. There was some very. I don't know who the directors were, or if it was the 90s that said you have to act in an enormously wooden fashion to all of these people. I don't understand.
These are all men. Just
the 90s
FYI.
Called all the directors.
Yeah.
This episode was directed by a dude, Robert Wiener. Weimer.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
It had to be
I wanted it to, but it didn't happen. So tell us what you thought. Like, last time we had you here was so long ago.
It was. And remember the episode? It was the one it was about where they go on that planet and it's all black people and they are the noble savages, but they're savages anyway. And the guy who played Worf was like, I don't need to be in this episode. You guys, why don't you talk amongst yourself? So
yeah, I blocked that one out. And
no, I forget. This is season one.
Hearing the description, I need to.
Yeah, it was so early and it was so incredibly. The thing is, I haven't watched it in such a long time that to cherry pick the ones like this makes me go, I swear to God, I love this show.
I know.
Of course. It was Code of Honor. This was our fourth episode.
Right.
Ever.
Right. That was the last one I was on.
And now we're
Code of Honor.
And
this is the description.
Okay, we'll have her back, right? And we'll give her a good one because it's the very last season. And we found, I would say, the worst episode of season 7.
There's trouble here.
Look, it says, a racist piece of shit, a truly terrible episode. These are the things that we said about it.
Right. So let's talk about this one and about how bitches, man, they always want to be goddesses. Anyway, so
yeah,
there's this one. It was all right. I mean, I understand. There's that whole thing about Deanna Troi and the art within, and
right,
everybody should be very suspicious when the android is super artistic,
right?
Because
yeah,
there's trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden he's like, I use my imagination. You're like, red flag. You don't have that. So.
Cause she's like, also her explanation of what sounds are, she was like, just do with clay what music makes you feel. And
right.
Data's like, sure, this clearly helps approaching right. human.
Yes. Is it with Data or the
nice.
This little kid,
nice.
This poor kid?
Yeah, I feel so
can't
bad for
get
him.
It right. You think the wings are too big?
Oh, no,
actually,
not at all.
They're not wings.
Birds have wings of all sizes, Eric.
Yes, they do, Eric. But let me tell you something, is that the conversation before, he was like, hello, I am a child actor.
Yeah.
And it was too bad. But I'm sure he's gone forward to learn how to.
Wait, let's see his line again. You think you can?
I think it's better.
Is this wing? Are these wings?
That's very good.
Look at her showing the. Check this out.
So proudly puts it down.
Wow, that's very nice.
No, it isn't. I just can't get it right. You think the wings are too big?
Oh, no, not at all. Birds have wings of all sizes, Eric. And you shouldn't worry about making it look perfect.
But Mrs. Nasus said we should try to make our sculptures as realistic as possible.
Well, that asshole.
It is important that you be able to make the clay take the shape you want it to have. But you're not supposed to be concentrating on technique today. I'm here to help you focus on the feelings you want to convey with your sculpture. For instance, what do you think about when you see a bird?
Flying?
Fine. So, make your sculpture make me think of flying too.
He's like, awesome. Into it. My question
is, great. I got it.
Wrong with Mrs. Narsu that she can't fucking teach feelings in art? Why do they have to call the counselor?
Right.
Well, what I don't understand is why the schools are still the same 400 years into the future.
Right. They're still pretty freaking bossy. Still,
yeah, they're just
it's
trying
not
to
space clay.
Square you into a box.
They had to go to a planet to get that clay.
No, I bet you they just replicated it because that's what this episode's about.
True,
taking
true.
All the stuff that they're just
true.
Replicating.
That's a good point.
And by the way, I don't blame the kid
How's
anymore.
Going,
I blame the woman who plays Deanna Troi, who is slightly wooden herself. There's
blaspheme.
Almost. Oh, it is a bit of blast. Oh, yeah.
Take fight it on this show.
All right, after school, right by the swing
well,
sets.
Well, I always say, like, they never write, like, the right lines for her, so I always defend her. I'm always
I
like,
do feel
she
like
came up
script.
With that accent.
I feel like it's script. Garbage script. She just is the most rudimentary shit.
And she came up with that accent. Like, how does she keep
the
it up?
The dimensions are accurate. Yeah. 1.3%.
This is cute, actually. I wish
I'm
had
sure
that.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It belongs in Animal Crossing.
You don't have a problem with realism, but you're here to work on your imagination. Maybe you should try something a little more abstract.
But why is he there to work on his imagination? Like, what?
I want you to start.
I guess
because
of his own accord. With the children. He's with the children.
Music.
Counselor, music is a collection of acoustic vibrations. How can I reproduce a sound?
Your house and my vibe, dude.
Well, think of the effects
don't
that
Bogart
sounds
the
have on people. The images that music brings to your mind. And then give it a form.
And then he does it so fast. And he whips up a... we get a stop motion video, basically.
They had to, like... Probably create...
It's like a TikTok.
Yeah. It's a... Oh,
totally
look
like
at him.
TikTok. So Ooh. He made one of those... What's the ampersand of music? I don't know what it's called.
It's a treble clef.
Treble clef. Very good. There you go.
No one needs that clay sculpture anywhere in all of life. It won't go anywhere.
I kind of like it as a piece. It's like, yeah, this is what already symbolizes music. Why do I have to make a new symbol?
Right. It was
and it's music.
I have a question about his imagination. And what do we know about Data and the is it because the guy who created Data, right? Yeah. His father
Noonien
was,
Sony.
Thank you. He created himself learning, right? But did he create him to grow emotionally too? That was the conceit, right?
Grew Data with a neuro a neural network that is supposed to grow and change over time, but it has no emotions. And now we know that, I guess, like they probably knew this at the time too, but like emotions are in the brain also, so you don't need to like not have a you can't have an emotion emotionless brain. But anyway, they did. And then he had an emotion chip that he could install if he wanted to, but he didn't give it to Data because when he gave it to Data's brother, Lore, Lore went nuts and was very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't give it to him.
He was just an unpleasant android.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later, Lore found there was another chip and he gave it to Data and it was just full of hate.
That's right. It was interesting because one would imagine that these chips would be the chips of like what you would have in a child, which means that it too would have to grow with the person. And so it would be just screaming and wah-wah and whining and self-absorption until you hit enlightenment, Alice.
And
Veronica,
that
enlightenment
is correct. And they didn't try that. And they
it's
just
too bad
took
that.
It out of his mouth, was just what it goes. And then they were like, ooh, this thing sucks.
We're going to throw this out.
And Data was so upset that it was not working is that he had it on his desk. And this is the end of that episode. He had the chip on his desk. And Geordi walks in. He's like, Data, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going to destroy this thing. And he just literally takes out a phaser and points it at the chip on his desk. And Geordi's like, whoa. Baby, don't.
Oh, my God.
Maybe don't shoot your desk.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, don't shoot your desk. That would be incredibly disappointing.
So, but then also Data has another program that allows him to dream that his dad like only activated when he was like I guess 30 years active or something.
Mm-hmm. I think
so
it activated on its
Easter
own.
Easter eggs in his head.
Sure. Yeah. Why would they just put little time bombs?
Yep.
And we're
like
removing this curtain. And then here's this childhood memory when you were touched. And it's brutal.
This resurfaced. I think Data is also like not down to have all those feelings. He was like a mess. He was just like a lot.
It was
crying.
It was like, it was puberty.
Yeah,
it was puberty. And his dreams were also like, they were a lot.
So vivid. And yeah. And they only gave him 45 minutes to sort of deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they would have given him the six years that the rest of us have.
It was two episode arc, but that arc ended on the first of the two episodes. which I thought was interesting. So this is Beverly and Deanna are having like,
they're
just getting ready to go.
Girls.
And yeah, the girls workout
pew,
session.
Pew, 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 pew.
39 hours.
And they're in such a hurry.
Worf says he's going to teach us some Mukbara throwing techniques today. More like falling techniques.
Oh, shit.
Ha! Last time we did that,
I should have done
that. Can I say something? That plant needs water. Like, I'm so upset.
And this distracting? Is that...
I'm upset about it.
I messed up. I should have done this. Okay.
What should you have done?
Here we go.
Worf says he's going to teach us some Mukbara throwing techniques today. More like falling techniques. Last time we did that, I was sore for a week.
Sorry.
What's
one
this?
More time.
One more time.
Says he's going to teach us some Mukbara throwing techniques today. More like falling techniques. Last time we did that, I was sore for a week.
You hear it?
What's this?
Okay, good.
I have no idea. I've never seen it before.
Maybe Will left it for you, a little present.
Well, that would be creepy.
It's not quite his style.
Then maybe it's a secret admirer.
Ooh. Even creepier. Just people sneaking into your private quarters and dropping off.
Mom, I'm gonna be late.
She's really in a hurry, too. Like, I've never seen Beverly this stressed out about anything, and she's the doctor. She's
right.
She's like, I don't know who left that in your room, but we have to go.
Worf will not teach us how to fall down unless we go now or throw each other
around. Oh, you're feeling violated. Whatever, whatever. Let's go!
But I have a question. Could you beam something into someone's room as a surprise?
It's space, you know?
I think so.
A lot of the stuff
beam
that
happens, a bunch of pranks.
I hope that there's a future in which beaming is available. So I'm like, I'm not always freaked out and feeling violated as a woman. I'm always like, could be somebody is stalking me, or baby stuff's getting beamed in by an unknown alien life form I don't know about or something.
Right. Maybe someone just has a crush on you that you didn't consent. You would think that there would be sort of buffer like for beaming things into people's private quarters. But
right,
I don't know.
If you're popular, then every time you go into your room, you're like, oh, fuck all this shit.
Why is there so much nonsense? Like, you know how like people sometimes give you presents and you're like, did you want me to throw this out? And Maria Bamford used to give me things. And finally I was like, take a picture of it and we'll pretend you gave it to me. How about that? I'm literally the worst person to give presents to. Actually, rivaled only by one of my brothers, who is actually the worst.
I now have to give Jackie presents.
Please do not give me anything.
That sounds really like a fun reaction to get.
Just be like, take a photo so that you remember that
my mom
exists.
Is adversely very good at getting presents. You could give my mom, my mom is Animal Crossing level. Like, oh, a literal piece of wood? You must really love me.
I'm perfectly fine. Like, I'm very polite about things, but I won't keep it if I don't like it. And I won't. And if you're one of my best friends, I think I can just say to you at some point in our 30 years of knowing together, seriously, it's the thought that counts. Just take a picture of that stuffed animal and say, I thought of you, thought about giving it to you.
And then didn't. My dad and I had a fight not too long ago, because when I moved into my new house, I wouldn't give him the address for a long time. And he got so angry.
Why?
Because he is he's a narcissistic alcoholic with like the ability to, it's actually fantastic. I wish it was an Avenger ability to give presents that the result is just him taking somehow. Like, he gives to take. Like, he'll give you something, wait
what's a good
7 years, and then ask you about it.
Oh,
and
God.
If you haven't looked at it or read it, if it's a book, he'll get really pissed.
Oh, my God.
And say, like, you must hate me.
Right.
Sometimes he's asked me to give him things back that he gave me a long time ago because he wants it again.
Gordy, knock it off.
So anytime I get a box from my dad, either it goes right in the trash or I'm like, well, I have this for a while. It's an emotional time bomb.
He keeps tabs on every gift.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He puts reminders,
they're not
like,
about
7 years in.
Yeah, our gifts are not about you. These gifts are about him. These gifts are his, you know, the world is his time capsule. So, anyway, that's dark.
Skylar should make a note that while on the Zoom recording, I muted myself, but on my local recording, I yelled the words, "Gordy, knock it off." So that's me yelling at the dog.
Yeah, you have a dog now.
Yeah, we have a dog. And he is an adorable dog. Matter of fact, I think you're gonna, because he is barking at our neighbor. And I have this to say about him barking about the neighbor. Neighbor's gonna be there the whole time. The next 10 years that dog's gonna be with us. So's Ruck. Ruck's gonna be there. So stop, don't fucking bark at him.
He's like, "Neighbor's back!" And you're like, "Yeah, I've known this."
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a delight of a human being.
After him.
Yeah, so. It turns out. Hang on.
I should also say that every time I mute myself, I'm sneezing and chewing. So that's nice.
I haven't muted myself once. Not once. Just FYI, Skylar. Actually, I did mute myself earlier and I did a secret ad for BetterHelp.
Thank you, Alice.
I can't stop.
Oh, my God. Come here, Gordy. Ah, there he is.
Oh, my God. Hello.
Look at this. Look at this guy. Gordito?
Oh, Gordy, Gordy, he's a barker that I know.
He isn't. He isn't a barker. The only time he barks is, there you go, good boy.
Oh.
Yeah, we've had him 3 weeks, and he's a gentleman, except for with the weird, he'll bark at the DWP guy and the neighbor. So he's got to stop. Nobody cares. Nobody
cares,
Gordy.
How is he when he walks around?
How does
when you walk him around when you like take him out?
He doesn't really care about other dogs a lot. He likes it when they're locked up and he's not. That just means that he is a bit of a dick. And I have to say that he is a gentleman in many ways, very polite and willing. But I think he's going to, once he gets super comfortable with us, he's going to be super bossy.
Yeah.
And then he's going to find out that he is not the alpha, to his chagrin, I'm sure.
Are you and Annie both the alpha in that situation?
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
It's,
right?
It's literally, it's not going to be him.
So he's like Zeta or Celta. Or
yeah. There's the Omega and the Zeta or whatever. My Greek. Do you know that I was going to take, let's just digress completely and say I was going to take.
That's what this show is.
And I was going to digress. I was going to take, I was going to study classics in college because I had taken Latin for so long. I was like, that's something. I think Latin and Roman history, that'll be great. And then they said I was going to have to take ancient Greek. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's not happening.
I love how you draw the line at ancient Greek and not Latin.
Jackie, you would have still ended up doing stand-up, but your stand-up would be a little different.
It would have been even more weird and obscure.
I think your stand-up might have been a little arcane then.
Right. Right now. It's bad enough now where I'm yelling, come on, hang out and listen to my Dune joke. Nobody wants that. Nobody. That's not entirely true. People, I've made that joke. That is a niche. And it's so funny because I don't actually have a Dune joke.
That's the bit that you just
That's
did.
The bit. Right. That's it.
Get Kraken.
Yes. I wish I had a joke about the Kraken. Who doesn't?
I do not have a joke about the Kraken. I mean, we all I tried doing a bit where the whole thing was like
what was
about
the whole thing.
The whole thing was it's about the word Karen and how like important it is to have a word and how great and validating it is to have a word that like kind of puts white women who are weaponizing their privilege in their place and kind of puts some derogatory spin on it. It's like fun because it bothers those women to be called Karen. They hate it. And that's great. But there is one group of people.
I don't think any woman's like, oh, I'm definitely being called a Karen. Sorry.
What do you mean?
Who would like take it? Who would be
who'd
like,
own?
Thank you.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're being a Karen.
Yeah, I feel like I have an inner Karen sometimes that comes out and then I go, oh, there she is, you know, and it's kind of nice for me to name it because she's in me. And then she comes out and I'm like, ooh, gotcha.
You're there.
The weird thing about the Karen thing, it's so funny because that term has come out in the last, what, year and a half? And about two and a half years ago, I wrote a joke about four terrible white women at Yellowstone National Park. And I actually, I Googled what was the most popular girl's name of 1965, which is the year I was born. And it was, I think it was Elizabeth. It was Elizabeth or Kimberly. And I went with Kimberly because of the hard K sound. And then okay. Karen became very popular. And then someone who was not a comic was like, you should use Karen. And I said, couple reasons I'm not going to. First of all, you suggested it.
Yep.
And you're an audience member, and everyone that it makes it slightly hacky because it would be a too easy kind of, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The second reason is because I know Karens. I know people named Karen.
So
and,
many.
And right. that are not monsters, right? And it feels like, you know, I mean, if your name is Karen, you have to do a bit about how you have to take back the night, right?
It's so true. Yeah, to not address it is like to walk on stage with crutches and never say anything.
It's exactly. It's like, please welcome Karen Kilgariff. Please welcome Karen Rontowski.
You better.
Karen Anderson, let me talk to you about it.
So I guess the Karens, the literal Karens, are owning the Karen.
They have to.
They must.
Yeah.
They must address it.
Someone's doing it.
Well, my bit is about how there is one group of people who is like really taking advantage of this new word. And that is, as you guessed, white men. They love to say Karen. They love to say Karen. It's like their favorite thing ever. They're like, oh, fuck yeah. And then my joke went into a place where it was like, I kind of try to do like a metaphor for that scene in Jurassic Park when the lawyer runs out of the car and leaves the kids behind and he's like, I'm free. And then he's the white guy. And then the T-Rex of justice like is like, wait a minute, what's that sound over there? Because like guys who say Karen, all I feel like from my perspective, I'm like, you're not safe. we're not done with you.
Right. And I have to tell you that Kilmartin's also working on a bit about that, about how much white men have embraced it. But there's so many different ways to go. And I love your Jurassic Park angle because that is a perfect example of just white men throwing white women under the bus so that they're like, don't look at me. Look at Karen.
It's
And that's
You know, now you said that, I'm just going to let
white dude name
Kilmartin do it.
That's what she would say the same thing. She'd be like, oh, fine, Wetterlin's doing it.
Did we come up with a name for dudes?
To even hear someone refer to me as a last name is flattery enough. You love to be a last name.
I have to say that I call all white people Whitey Magoos because it kind of sums up is like, because remember Mr. Magoo had he couldn't see.
Yeah.
And he was such a tool. He was such a pain in the ass. So Whitey Magoos are my term for white, because the learning curve right now for Whitey Magoos is super steep. And men folk is also very steep. Men of all comer.
Yeah.
So what's the male name for Karen?
That's what I was going to say, is like, I want it to be my dad's name, Glenn. I think Glenn would be good.
Glenn's a good.
I think it's Chad.
When it is Chad, but that's like a bro of like born in the 80s. I feel like Glenn is like.
Chad has more associations, yes.
A guy with in like, the 60s. He's not like a duck hunter.
Just ask Google.
But he's like a guy. So yeah, because like I was saying to my friend Aaron, I was like, oh, my dad.
Ken.
You know.
They're calling him Ken.
Oh, it rhymes. I'll take it.
Ken and Karen, that seems right. And Ken and Glenn rhymes.
Ken and Glenn rhyme. Glenn is like, it's like if they're Barbie dolls, Glenn is like the friend.
It's so funny. Like with women, they just say like, they say like in headlines and stuff, they say the guy's full name and then the woman he was with. But when it's time for Karens and Kens, then it's always like, now I'm seeing a bunch of memes here and they're all like the male version of Karen. They're not like daring to call him a thing.
This is a Ken. Yeah, that guy is such a Ken is not as pervasive as that woman's such a Karen.
Yeah.
Like no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
I just
about.
Advise us white women who have not embraced it yet to embrace the Karen, own it, let it sit on you, let it sit with the discomfort, because, you know, the more graciously we examine our own privilege and prove that it's possible to not fucking die if you like are ever guilty right. of anything and admit it and being like being open to learning and being like available to be helpful isn't going to fucking kill you or end your career.
It is not right. There's so much abundance in the world. One of my favorite things about my father, who drives me mad, is that he's always like, there's enough for everybody, but I don't understand why everyone's not using the tools to get as much as they can. Mm. And so he's like, he wants to use that capitalism. And he thinks there's plenty. I don't understand why you're not doing this and this and this. And then you could make $10,000. Like, he's actually said that to my brother. You could do this and this and this, and then you'll get $10,000. My brother's like, let me just take notes and do that. And my dad's like, yeah, it's great. But what I'm saying is that that's a straightforward way to make 10 grand. If you do this and then take the pool cue and shoot a 3-bank thing from behind your back and do 9 other things, you could make $250,000. And my brother goes, or I could guaranteed make 10 grand. So stop talking to me. And so I remember when Russ told me that, and I was like, well, why don't, when he says stuff like that to you, why don't you tell the rest of us? We could all use 10 grand. And he's like, call your dad more often.
It's all a ploy. See?
Mm-hmm.
He gives, you know, it's a quid pro quo of love.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it. That's it. But I would say that what the other thing I call sort of entitled men are pile of haircuts, because they all have the same fucking haircut. And they all, you know, how like in Los Angeles where everyone has the same workout regimen, people who work out.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they all kind of have the same body. Yeah, there's hiking, and then there's Equinox. Some sort of the bending of knees, and there's crunching going on. I don't know a lot about it. I'll gotta go over here and eat an entire chicken. So, but the thing is
the bending of knees. I've definitely done that one.
I think there's lunging. I think that's the word I'm looking
lunging
for.
Is
there's
what
lunging
mean.
Is the word. They bend their knees. All I know is that it fucking hurts, and I don't want any part of it.
I'm imagining when you sit in a chair, your feet are just straight up. Fuck that knee bending
right,
shit.
Fuck that knee bending stuff.
It's just walking around like a ginger.
I sit down like a Barbie doll. My legs point straight out.
Did you guys hear that parable? It's a beautiful parable. Someone told me this parable, and I swear to God, I thought it was someone telling me a joke, and I almost murdered them. And then it was a parable, and I was like, yeah, that's beautiful. But I still had residual rage from someone trying to tell me a joke. A woman dies and goes to heaven. Doesn't it sound like a joke? She's talking to St. Peter, and she says to St. Peter, can I see what hell looks like? It all still sounds like a joke. And St. Peter goes, yeah, sure. What the heck? So they go down, they go into hell, and it's a bunch of tables full of food, and people are crying because nobody has any elbows, so nobody can eat. And
a joke, though.
Right. And
that's
she said,
funny.
But then, okay, so the end of it, the parable part is they come back to heaven. She's like, wow, that was horrible. And she goes into heaven. And it's the same exact scene, except that people are feeding each other because they don't have elbows.
It's like a joke. It's like a parable is like a joke after Dane Cook gets to it.
I don't know anything about Dane Cook. I do
know
that.
Oh, I'll get you on the record about Dane Cook. No, I. It's like
I'll go on the record about Jeff Ross if you'd like. Anything else?
My God. I wish I still had this picture. Fuck, but I posted it on my Instagram 1,000 years ago. But my friend Poe used to be on like your Tinder, whatever. And one time she sent me a screenshot of somebody she matched with on Tinder. And it was someone named Jeffrey Ross. And his age was listed as 36. And
what?
It was Jeff Ross. And I was like, you.
Jeff Ross is 60 years old if
at
he's a day.
At the time, this was 10 years ago.
He's 50 years old. And he was looking, because someone was talking about how you're supposed to not date below half of your age plus 7, right? That's supposedly, so
I'm
in
my late teens, so.
Right. So babies. No, so I'm 55, and the only reason I tell you that is because Lori Kilmartin keeps telling everyone.
You gotta get ahead of the story, Jackie, one way or another.
I guess everyone who's cared now knows. And so, but that half of that is like 27 plus 7, 34. For all, my husband would be disappointed if I started dating. But because our
sexuality. Just disappointed.
Just be like.
Not heartbroken or like.
I got to say, I'm not angry.
No, not mad. Just, oh, what are you doing?
Like, it's a bit of a letdown, to be honest.
I expected more from you.
We bought new, I'm going to finish one story and then start another one. It would be a 34-year-old man. 34-year-old man.
Ross, a little too old for you.
Jeff Ross, exactly. It's like, I could date Jeff Ross, except for I don't think. But I was thinking, I don't know. I mean, men are pretty hot at 34. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty hot age. Like, you see, like, a guy at 17
that's why
or
guys,
20.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is a strapping puppy of a man.
Yeah.
That's a good looking dude. But at 33, 30, 32, 34 years old, a dude has really come into, like, you're like, I would love to touch that, all kinds
that's
of things.
That's
he probably washes his bath towels at that point.
Right. Like, right. He feels like not just an adult man, but also
it's
an adult
promising.
Man.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
He's not undercooked anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. No more, no more potential.
Quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've always been very attracted to men younger than me. And I was really worried about that because I was like, if I get older, like normal older, not old, not however old I am now, but you know, my hair is gray. I'm still going to be like out there Harold and modding it, you know? And then I met my current boyfriend and I was like, oh, he's age appropriate. Because he looks like a fucking professor. And he's not. He's 8 years younger than me. He just looks older.
Oh, okay.
Bullshit.
Well, that's.
It's perfect.
But he's pretty mature.
Frankly, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
It works. And
I'm in love.
If it works. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's happy that then my husband, year and a half younger than me.
Oh,
and,
boy.
I know there's
you're
like
crazy. You're wild.
I've gone mad. But like for 6 months of every year, he's only a year younger than me. And so I'm just like, and for some reason we talk about it anyway. So he bought us new wedding bands in the last year. And then he just lost his.
Yeah, sure.
But he has, we've been in quarantine he's gone back to wearing the initial ones. Our initial wedding bands were based, I wanted to just buy them from the Sky Mall. Do you remember the Sky Mall?
Yeah.
And he's like, we're not getting wedding bands from the Sky Mall. We're going to have them made, because it was a Lord of the Rings themed elven design.
I fucking remember that exact ring
in
the Sky Mall catalog.
It had a little, like, vine. That just went around. And so now it's white gold with a vine around it. And it has either green or black enamel in it.
Yeah.
Now, these, I don't know what this is. I forget what this is. Here's the only good news is it glows in the dark.
Oh, ooh. Shit.
So it's like white
that's
gold
cool.
And it's painted with that glow in the dark stuff.
And
then,
so how the fuck did he lose it? Because it glows.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, where is it?
There's chips of emeralds and copper in it. So
you know what there should be
it
chips
wasn't very
of
expensive.
Is location chips so that you can fucking find
huh? Low Jack. what I think he was helping his mom plant something and he thinks he dropped it in the yard. And I was like, oh, well, luckily they weren't expensive. They weren't that expensive. So I was like, please just get another one. And he's like, I'm hoping to find it. And so this story peters out, is what I'm telling you. I'm so sorry.
Hey, you're workshopping it. It'll get there. Let's watch another scene of this show we're supposed to be talking about.
Yes, let's.
This episode for me, I was thinking about how to frame it. And basically, you know, Data starts getting this information from this civilization. And he keeps being like, I don't know how I know about this stuff.
It is over 87 million years old. That's older than the comet itself.
Thanks, Briggs.
Could someone from the Darcy system have built it?
There are no technologically advanced cultures in that system now. But perhaps 87 million years ago there were.
Picard's
why would they want to hide
total
something like that inside a comet?
Boner for the anthropological
possibly
angle.
It accumulated those frozen gases over time as it traveled through space.
In any case, it's definitely responsible for the system anomalies we've been experiencing. They're using our sensor beam as a carrier wave to transmit information into our computers and replicators.
But the question remains, why? What is its purpose?
Captain, I believe this object is an informational archive.
Why do you say that, Mr. Data?
I do not know. However, I seem to have an intuitive understanding of its function.
Data, the internal structure of that thing is pretty complex. And it's got a repetitive node configuration, which might suggest a database of some kind, but it could be practically anything. I don't see how you could know for sure what it is.
Data, do you believe that you're in communication with that object?
It is a possibility, sir. I recommend we run a level one diagnostic of my positronic net to determine if that is the case.
Very well. Miss LaForge, give him a hand.
Aye, sir.
So basically, Data's like, look, I don't know how this thing is communicating with me. All I know is I've been on this show for 7 seasons and I have not done enough character work. So we're going to get into it.
We're getting into this.
We're going to see my range today.
Can I just say that ship looks like something you would find in the backseat of a car of someone who has like a 2-year-old, you know? You're like, what's this? What is
covered
this
in gunk? It's really big.
And like slime.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah,
got
yeah
like
that's
car
like
dust on
a
it.
A piece
and shit
that doesn't belong in anywhere now at this point.
But it's sort of a weird, like, it looks like sort of a geranium.
Yeah.
Like it looks like, I don't know, somebody made it and then something tiny lives on it, like Gulliver's Travels.
Ooh, that's
I
cute.
I do not know.
Yeah, I know, Data. It's because you're different. That's why.
Well, you're going to be all right.
I like how Geordi's so concerned
me, okay?
About him.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to disconnect you.
Is he going to get besorted? Nope.
What's going on?
He so cares about him. What's going on, buddy?
He's always cared about him. Oh!
Oh!
Data.
Uh-oh.
Asaka is waking.
Oh, Jesus.
Character.
Oh. Here we
character
fucking go.
Time.
Here
character
we motherfucking
time.
Go.
Here we go.
And
that
so that's
is too much.
The rest of the episode is just Data cycling through. And if you watch this episode from the perspective of the rest of the cast, just like allowing Data to go off, it's kind of fun. Because Picard has to walk in like, let me speak to I-Hat.
Right. What's happening with kid?
Yeah.
Who's let me just look at a Rolodex here because it is the 90s.
And Data's just like does all these different characters and he's like obviously really excited about it and it's fine. But in universe, you know, there's this character Masaka who is hunting everyone, I guess, in some sort of weird god. What is never explained in this episode is, let's be honest, most everything about this episode. But also why this culture, which is so like primitive in its like God theism, is so advanced because it is able
to. There's like this amazing monotheism. It's a pantheon, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a monotheist.
It's a duotheist if there's only the two. But then. There. It feels like there might be more. Yeah. Because
right. It feels like there's a Loki and a, you know, like it feels like there's a pantheon behind the story of all this. And a lot of business going on. And I think it's so interesting. I mean, I'm happy for Data getting to really stretch his wings right here, acting wise. But you're just like, okay, and it just reminds me of every sort of Sybil, you know, multi personality kind of situation where they're like, "Oh, okay," and then the ship gets taken over by this ancient culture, and everything like vines start growing.
Yeah, which
and
is funny because it kind of funny because it makes Picard really mad. He like walks under the bridge.
I just changed these curtains.
Yeah, I don't like these. What are these blocks here? And there's just like earthenware everywhere all of a sudden.
Everything was gray. I liked it gray. Why is everything sort of a terracotta now?
And I have. So it turns out in the end of the episode that Misaka is the sun, right? Mm-hmm. And then after I rewatched it, I was like, yeah, of course, because like people are always talking about Misaka coming when the other guy goes away, and it's like a cyclical thing that never stops. Oh, okay,
right. And then the also, sun and the moon, the sun and the moon, and
Misaka tortures people by killing them by they die of thirst, and sometimes they mm-hmm. burn to death, and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. okay, and then. You know, sometimes I get skin cancer. That wasn't said. But so, like, they fix it by Picard being like, well, I'll just tell Misaka that I'm the moon.
Right.
And everybody on the ship is like, don't you think that? And Picard's like, look, we don't have a script.
We don't. We gotta do this. It's just, let's just go for it, shall we?
Look, we have to get out of this. One way or another. We can't keep doing this episode forever. We're almost at the end of the 7-season contract I signed. A decade. Do you understand how long?
Weird. Minute 44 here, people. We got to get out of this. And
but I have started. So my house is faces the west. And so every day, my kitchen and the west, like my kitchen, which faces west, is like lit up. With I can't do dishes, I can't make coffee, I can't any because you just walk in, it's just like insane. The other day, right? I was talking to my mom on the phone, and she was like, "Oh, so curtains?" And I was like, "Hadn't occurred to me."
Oh, correct. God,
curtains, that might work.
You've inspired me to move the orange curtains now.
I'm excited to see this change.
Yeah, we got
to
see what happens. Nothing. Well, it's a little bit different.
So this episode was, No, actually, there's more light now.
Yeah, the white balance is better.
Oh yeah, it's just now it's all just because this faces to the west and the regular light is just nice.
Nice.
So, but Veronica, that's the ring light.
I see it in your glasses too, and mm-hmm. Reflective.
I'm excited about this.
So, what is the background on this app?
Okay, so it says that they wanted to do a take on the Lost Library of Alexandria, but originally it was going to be about architectural things, and they were like, it's too hard to conceptualize, so they were changed into actual characters from the archive, and the showrunner was like, this concept is crazy, but then when they saw the script, they're like, okay, they're smoking something. Like, I don't know what the writers are doing.
This is clearly just they're like, but you know, it's like some episodes of it, they meet this advanced civilization, which is so clearly they don't get it, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's like this weird disjointed. We have the speed of light. We can do any number of things, but we are also really interested in this tree. And we're going to worship this tree forever.
Yeah.
But this is also crazy.
We have very bad body dysmorphia.
So. The way, so Brent Spiner mm-hmm. said that this was one of his most difficult acting assignments because he said, I had some good stuff in 7th season, but they just were scheduled so poorly. He said that he got the script for this episode on the night before.
The night before?
And he was shooting Thine Own Self, which is another big episode for him. And he finished the midnight before. So he was like, I didn't even have time to absorb the script and digest and figure out who these people were that I was playing. Yeah. He said, give me 6 months and I think I could give you the characters they're due. But as it was, he was like, I don't know who I was playing. So it was like, instant acting.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's so frustrating.
That's interesting.
That sucks so much for him.
I know. I'm like,
he
full of empathy.
Is the total, like, I want to spend 6 months developing characters. That's what I love to do. And mm-hmm. so they give him that opportunity, but then say, but you can't do the fun part. You have to just do the, like, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do that episode then?
Yeah, also, it's so weird.
What pisses me off about it is, like, imagine being the person who wrote the brilliant episode for this show and then that squeezed it out. You know, because you know there's some people who are like, well, You know, you didn't want to do my episode about the planet, the solar system that has physical bridges between the, you know, right. It made its culture, it's but
a,
whatever.
It's an archipelago, but of galaxies.
So,
and they're all these, and they all have tiki, a tiki theme.
It would have been so argument, fun. We could have a fun party afterwards, but no.
His argument is Dustin Hoffman had a year to figure out how to play a woman, and he just had to figure out four characters overnight. Like,
and
when
one of them
exhausted.
Was a woman.
Yeah.
Misaka's
yeah,
a lady. Mm-hmm. Oh, my son's story. My story about the curtains. I was going to finish by saying, like, so now every time I walk, after watching this episode, I walk into the kitchen, I'm like, Misaka!
Do you ever think about getting Greek food? Misaka!
Misaka! Oh, right, that's right, because it is a Greek.
It's a,
I
yeah,
have
it's
some
a Greek
phyllo
pastry.
Dough okay. in my fridge right now, and I have no idea what to do with it. And I was also going to ask you before we leave, A, if you had anything you wanted to plug, duh, and B, if you have any, I bought a whole chicken today. I knew I was going to see you.
Nice. Congratulations. Well done.
Whole chickens from Mary's were on sale at Whole Foods.
That's
so I was
awesome.
Like, you're going to see Kayshen today. Yeah. Ask her what to do with the chicken.
Well, do you have to cut that chicken up or is it already cut up?
No, it's a whole.
It's a whole chicken. I'm a big fan of cutting up a chicken just because it cooks more evenly, but you could cook it whole if you like. This face tells me you don't want to cut up a chicken. You just want to bake
a chicken.
I will
cut up a chicken. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about mm-hmm. cutting it up. I would cut it up.
Right. And then you just take like the back of the chicken and stick it in a freezer bag and you make stock a million years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. That's making the whole chicken and you make stock.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's real nice.
Skylar is weighing in. He has a lot of advice for cooking whole chicken. So
he's got good chicken.
I'm yeah. just realizing that you actually, you were here season one,
mm-hmm.
and now you're here season seven towards the beginning and your book ending like the entire show, which is
right.
amazing. Thank you.
Sure, sure.
And you got two weirdly tribal.
Very tribal. Very primitive.
Up episodes.
Yeah. Whenever I think of tribal, I think Jackie Cation.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Tribalism.
And what I would recommend with this thing is you might want to make a marinade.
Yeah.
You might want to, or if you just want to bake it and make a delicious, a Mary's chicken, which is a step three, if I have that correct.
That's right. You got that right.
Andy likes to call them stages. He's like, did you get a stage five chicken? And I was like, stop talking. You're creeping me out. Anyway, so, because that's a cancer term. Anyway, so but if you want to make it tomorrow, you can essentially just get some yogurt and mint with a little olive oil, salt and pepper, and then marinate it overnight. And you can add other things besides yogurt and mint, salt and pepper,
garlic.
And olive oil, garlic, of course, and lemon. Yeah, you could do all of that. Or you could do another one, which is just olive oil with like cumin and coriander, salt and pepper. And coriander and cumin, and then maybe some a little bit of like either pepper flakes or
you don't say cumin
paprika.
Just kidding.
I don't say cumin, and I also say phyllo dough. I don't say phyllo dough.
So, say phyllo.
Yeah,
but phyllo.
Phyllo dough, phyllo dough, and what you want to do is.
Words are silly.
yes. And but I think and then you wanna bake the hell out of it. You wanna
bake the hell out of it. Yeah,
yeah, you wanna but you could just do this. You could just, you know, pull it out of the fridge and salt and pepper, and then yeah. let it get up to room temperature and then bake the whole. You could stick some lemons and garlic in the middle of it. And then you can just bake the whole thing for an hour and, but get it up to room temperature, bake it for an hour at like 375, 400.
And
then eat it all. No, I don't baste
during
it.
During the baking, you just let it go.
Well, if you do salt, pepper, and garlic, you can put a little dabs of butter on it
mm-hmm.
to sort of crisp up the skin.
Okay. I might brush it.
Yeah, or you could brush it with olive oil. Like, so
I've been eating this whole episode and I'm getting hungry somehow. I
you're
don't know.
I've watched you. You've been very dainty. You have a very nice table manners. They're very
She's
nice.
She's eating
well
potatoes too.
I'm eating all veggies.
All vegetables.
My personal trainer.
Carrots, beans.
The other night, potatoes. I was watching Riverdale with my friends out in my backyard.
You're still on that.
Huh. Girl, it's so many episodes of that stupid show. But I had my hand fully submerged in a bag of potato chips, about to get a tasty, tasty handful. And my trainer, who has just started, I just started uploading my calorie intake to the app that we use. My trainer texted me. I got a text that said, your fat intake is way too high. And in the chip bag, as he texted. And I hadn't even entered those chips in yet. This is on a day in which I ate a bell pepper for a snack.
Wow.
It's savage.
His trainer radar.
It's really, it was really, I got very upset. I was like, okay, well, I'm not eating this whole bag out of in rebellion.
Rebellion. You will.
I will not be subject to these.
Take back the chip night.
And it was taken. And lo. Well, that, it has been the episode. Unfortunately, there's not much more to discuss. I did like the ending scene where they're talking about, they're kind of wrapping up the episode in this really cute, sort of like, well, that's what it was. And I sort of like the conversation that they have here. Oh, wait, let me just share the screen with you so that you can actually see what I'm doing.
I don't understand. I thought all of the alien artifacts had disappeared from the Enterprise.
That one was not created by the archives, sir. That is the clay mask I originally made. I have since painted it.
A memento?
Yes, sir. Although I am relieved to be rid of those alien personalities, in a sense, I am now empty.
I can imagine. Dr. Crusher told me that there were possibly dozens of personalities inside you.
I suspect the number was much greater. My impression is that there were thousands of all ages and walks of life.
Aww.
It's a remarkable experience.
Well, Data, you never may become fully human, but you've had
jackassery.
Transcends the human condition. You've been an entire civilization.
And if I'd had 6 months, you would have seen even more.
Exactly.
So they're kind of like, well,
you get a wave as they head off into the sunset. Yep.
Before that conversation, Picard, like, Data's like, what happened? Was I dreaming? And Picard's like, it would take too long to explain. And you're like, really? Because this would be the time.
Yeah, we got, this is what we're hoping. We're hoping to hear things.
The person is asking you for exposition that we understand they would want. And you could just tell them what happened.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. But no. Like, nope. We don't know.
No.
Jackie. We still want to hear. Where can we find you? How can we stalk you?
Oh, well,
where can we beam things to you?
Beam things to me at all the things. It's at Jackie Cation. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, all the things. Facebook. I have two podcasts, The Dork Forest. This week it's with Greg Proops. It's about the Negro Leagues baseball.
Oh, awesome.
And next week is about a band called, with Kyle Ayers, called St. Vincent. And I did not know that that was a band. I thought it was a thrift store. And so, I don't know. Or a saint. And so, but The Dork Forest is like, it's everything you want to dork out about. You could listen to A Dork Forest about it.
Have you had anyone about like tarot and crystals and all that stuff yet? Because this guy right there, or is it
right
there?
Is it that one?
God,
right there?
What a crystal
Veronica?
Dork.
Here.
It's,
I'm all about that stuff.
It could happen. Attainable goal, my friends. Everybody, Jackie at Jackie Cation, you want to be on the show. Scheduling's the worst, but everybody can be on. Just email me. It can happen.
Also, at some point, you'll see Jackie Cation on my show, Hell in a Bucket, at 8 p.m. PST on Instagram some Wednesday night in the future.
So keep watching
all the episodes, because you'll miss it if you don't.
Every Sunday, or almost every, rarely not, but almost every Sunday, I do a Zoom show. And if you sign up for my email list, you will find out how to come to that. My email list, if you go to JackieCation.com and look for the link that says sign up for the email list, it's literally harder to get on the list than it is to ever get off the list, because every email you receive has two unsubscribe buttons.
Yep.
And I don't take it personal.
I send one email every 2 or 3 years.
I used to, and now I send them every week because I'm doing Zoom shows every week. And because of that, I include an anecdote, and I also encourage people if it becomes That's too great. Much to fuck off. I don't
I'm
care.
I'm going
to
sign up because I want to copy everything you do.
Okay, well,
just this, the chicken and this. Up.
The chicken and the
weekly. Email thing.
And the egg. Oh, okay.
Damn. Jesus.
Please. All right. Just, get on it.
I was being polite. I'm not fucking.
And you can all unsubscribe and I don't even notice. So don't think I take it personally. I'm always surprised at who's on it.
Well, I'm so glad that you got to be with us today. I'm sorry. The episode was
super
garbage.
Fun. Super fun. Though.
This we episode talked about of this podcast things. Wasn't garbage.
That's right.
Isn't that right, guys?
Exactly. Would it be an episode of you?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't weird.
If it wasn't weird, I know. All of a sudden.
Oh.
I'm not eating at all. And yet cannot breathe. What's happening?
Oh.
Anyway.
And you activated my Google speaker for some reason.
Things got weird.
A lot just went on. It's a pleasure. And please drink some
I think
water.
It was Moussaka.
God damn it. Moussaka. Get out of here. Okay. All right. That's it.
That's it.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.